And we are back. Welcome, guys, to episode 2 of the Weekend Hangover. It's Monday, so you know what that means. Let's get into it. So, the first topic of the day, as always, is sports. First on our slate, it was just announced earlier today that the Patriots signed Cam Newton to a 1-year deal. Very interesting move here, as people believe that Stidham would be their starting quarterback, but now it seems it'll be a contest. What are your guys' thoughts on this?
Awesome.
Yeah, well, I think people were getting on Tom Brady for not making it to the Super Bowl last year, and they would often point to his lack of weapons. And all of a sudden, Cam Newton joins the Patriots, and you know, you never hear talk about those same weapons or lack thereof. I think Cam Newton definitely adds some talent to that team. I think it's a stereotypical Bill Belichick move, signing former MVP to the league minimum. But he still has the same issues that Tom Brady's going to have there. I mean, he's got Julian Edelman as his pretty much only receiver. Got Sony Michel at running back. Not much else going for him in New England.
How would you say it's a stereotypical move by Belichick? When has he done this before?
Just getting good players for cheap.
Like who?
Randy Moss.
But of recent, has he done that? Or is that just like, I thought it was kind of out of nowhere.
No, Stephon Gilmore, like, who's like the top corner this year. They get him for relatively cheap from Buffalo. Trying to think. Like, I feel like they just get like good linebackers. Yeah, I mean, like, Austin's right, where they get like, they do get good players.
Gilmore's not cheap.
But still, they got him, like, they pried him away from Buffalo, and he's, like, the best corner in all of NFL. So, right. Anyways, I'll give my opinion. I think this might be, like, a silly move for New England. Their roster, like, I don't think is that good. Like, their defense is good, but they lost pieces. They lost Trey Flowers, their pass rusher, and I believe they lost a linebacker, too. So, I don't, like, really know like how good they're going to be, like how good their defense is still going to be. It's still going to be good because they do, like we have, like we just said, they have Gilmore and they have the McCourty brothers, but I just don't know how good they're going to be. But I think this kind of like, you want to see like what you have in Stidham at least. Like this could have been like your year. Is Stidham, like, could he be the guy? And right now you sign Cam and he's going to hopefully take them back to the playoffs, which really isn't a guarantee at this point.
Do you think Belichick's move is to like just automatically start Newton? You think it'll be a contest?
I think it's you sign Cam Newton for him to play basically,
and then what, Stidham watches him, and
I think
still have Hoyer, right? Or no?
Yeah, he's still on the roster. I don't think they trust Stidham basically.
It's also Stidham, a 1-year deal, so you wouldn't sit Cam Newton.
Yeah, I mean, They signed Cam Newton to get him to play.
And but Winston signed, what, a 1-year deal, too?
But he's a backup to one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL, dude.
I don't know if it's automatic start, though, because you can't – Stidham's been, you know, probably practicing with some of the Patriots teammates.
And yeah, but who can you sign Cam Newton.
Who's not you, really – who hasn't been good of recent.
Yeah, like, but it's still Cam – you're not – Cam Newton didn't sign with New England to be the backup for a year. That's just he was probably almost guaranteed the starting spot.
Yeah, I guess, you know? So I just don't think, even if they have, I guess I kind of agree, it's not, I don't think it was the best move for them, because I don't really think he's going to help them. I mean,
short term, like, hopefully
help them a little bit, but they're not going to, I don't think they'll make the playoffs.
I think Buffalo
is running that division. Yeah. I don't think it'll be close. I think Buffalo wins like 10-11 and New England gets like 7.
Right now I'd rather have Josh Allen than Cam Newton as my starting quarterback.
Plus, and you still have, like,
pretty,
you know,
similar players.
You got Tua, Dolphins. They could be like okay.
I don't think so. I think they're still a tier under New England and
yeah, but they're better Buffalo than they were last year.
I mean, they're better.
They got 5 wins last year.
I think they'll be sitting like right around the same amount, maybe 6 wins. Maybe, I don't know, because they went 1-1 against New England.
But like that last game was kind of.
So they went 1-1.
New England's already locked, but yeah, they did.
So I think 1-1 against.
But is Fitzmagic the deal there, or is he in a mentor Tua?
Well, they have Fitzmagic, they have Tua, and they have Rosen. So I mean, Tua's going to start. Fitzmagic's going to be the number two, and then Rosen's going to sit at number three. I think, I don't know. But I don't like this move for New England. It kind of just ruins their timeline, I guess, of what they want to do, if they want to rebuild or if they want to use Stidham as their starter, I guess.
Sure.
Austin, any more thoughts on this or no?
Yeah, I don't like the move. I mean, unless you think Cam Newton is going to get New England to the Super Bowl, I mean, I think this just keeps them mediocre.
Yeah.
I think you're preventing Jared Stidham from developing. And also, you're probably not going to be as bad of a team with Cam Newton, so you're not going to have as good as draft picks.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it sets him back at least a year.
Yep. All right, moving into our next topic. So the NBA released their schedule for the rest of the year. And then, so Zion and the Pelicans, we've determined, are just going to cheese their way into the playoffs with their current schedule. Like, Dave and I were talking about it, like, before the show. And
they have the easiest schedule.
They have to have the easiest schedule. Like, how many games do they play? Eight games?
Winning percentage of the other teams, I looked this up, is 40, or it's like under 500.
So, like, the NBA clearly wants Zion in the playoffs to get swept by LeBron in the first round. But still, they want in the playoffs, which would be – that's like a dream scenario for ratings, honestly.
Yeah, it's kind of messed up, but
I don't know. I want to see it.
I mean, kind of – it's low-key rigging.
I mean, the NBA is always kind of, like, rigged stuff.
Yeah, Pelicans at 0.49, they have like 0.495 is their remaining schedule, like that win loss. And then you have Sixers about 500, Kings a little over 500. And you got like Nets, Clippers, Celtics all around there. And then like the Raptors have to play 64%, like, or 0.64 basically. Like, that's pretty messed up. And I don't know. It's, and a Grizzlies. So they, like, yeah, their opponent, like pretty much who they're trying to get the 8 seed for, Grizzlies have the sixth hardest. At almost 60% win.
Do you know how many games out the Pelicans are, or no?
I think like three, maybe.
Whoa! What was that?
I was thinking. I don't know. They have to be within. What was it, like eight? I think the thing was to get in.
I think they're lower than eight. Obviously, I think they're right around 3 to 4. Right?
It's around there. I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're 3.5 out of the Grizz.
Yeah.
Then you got Portland, New Orleans, and the Kings are all 3.5 out. And you got Popovich, sneaky, 4 out. And then the Suns are 6 out. I think it was actually 6. Suns are 6 out. It'd be weird if the Suns snuck in. But I don't know. With a lot of these players, like, some players are sitting out, so that makes it kind of interesting too.
Yeah, but they're all like fringe. They're all like,
but I guess a lot of them are the teams that are kind of the bottom tier teams. I'm trying to think. Is anyone sitting out on these top teams?
I thought there was someone. Nah, I can't even like
Brogdon. No,
Brogdon's not sitting out. So, like, Wilson Chandler said that he was sitting out, but he's trash.
I think so. Chandler got. Or he got sat out on the net, signed someone, but I forget who it was. They saw. I don't know.
Wait,
but, Willie Cauley-Stein sitting out, but like it doesn't really matter. Chandler, sitting out. I guess
Avery Bradley sitting out.
I don't know. Avery Bradley, that's a big one actually.
But did they sign Jarr Smith yet or no?
No, they're talking about trying to get a shooter. He hasn't signed.
Okay.
DeMarcus Cousins maybe would sign. I don't know. Or return. No, never mind. Ariza. Isn't Ariza sitting out?
Ariza's out.
And Bertans was like the first one.
All right. Also, what do you think about what do you think Pelicans have a shot at getting into the playoffs, and what do you think they would do
in the playoffs? I think even if they do get into the playoffs, I mean, basketball's not really a sport where upsets are common, I would say.
Yeah.
So, I mean, even if they get in, I think they're just going to get bounced first round.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair.
They do have an easy schedule. I can see them definitely making it close.
Would it be exciting? Like, I think it would be really exciting to watch Zion in his first year in the playoffs. I'm not sure.
Yeah, like, I feel like he's definitely an entertaining player to watch. He's got a lot of energy, you know, his first year in the season in the league.
I think, like, there's going to be a couple, like, where he and LeBron guard each other on a couple, times down the court, and you know, that'll be exciting. I'm sure there'll be some highlights that come out of that.
That first game against with New Orleans against LeBron and the Lakers. I mean, that made headlines with LeBron dropping. Did he drop 40 points?
Yeah, I saw. Like that. Yep, that game was earlier in the year.
It'd just be a repeat of that. I feel like.
Yeah.
Heightened a little bit since it's the playoffs.
Yeah, everyone's gonna be healthy too. That's the thing. So you're gonna have healthy LeBron, and that's scary when you have AD as well. So I don't know. We good on this topic, boys?
Yeah, let's move on.
All right. So MLB announced their restart at the end of July. Let's do predictions for the division winners, and then let's do like a World Series matchup.
But first, I want to say one thing. They have to play 60 games in 66 days, so there's not a lot of rest in there.
Yeah.
That. And also, there's a DH for the NL and AL, so no pitchers are not hitting. Mm-hmm. And then they had that whack extra inning rule.
I don't mind that though, because that like short, like I don't,
I guess it
like,
shortens it, but like, it's not as exciting
because like a base to watch a 16 inning game.
They're trying to slow it down, but like it's not that much of it. I mean, I guess it happens, but how often do extra innings happen?
But still, like no one wants to watch a 16 inning game.
Not many. I mean, most of them end up only going like 10 or 11 if they're extra. None of them go that long.
But I don't. What's the? It adds excitement. If there's a guy in second, the pitcher has like, not that much room to screw up.
I can see that, but you got. I mean, you know, earn it because then you're.
I mean, both.
I can see it, but it's a lot more exciting.
I disagree, a single
wins it instead of maybe a dinger with two outs and nobody's on. Because think about this too, in extras. So top half of the inning, right?
Yeah.
Other team hits a 2-run home run, okay. So they're up by two.
But how often you come up?
Well, I mean, a dinger. I mean, it could happen easily.
It could, but how often does it?
But how often? I mean, obviously less than single double, probably.
Yeah, obviously.
But that's what I'm saying. They get a 2-run homer, and then other team comes up, and they're like, okay, as long as you know we get maybe a gapper, and the run scores second, and then hit another instead of earning it.
Exactly. So the game's not over. So if there's a 2-run home run, game's not over yet.
Yeah, but
you know, so yeah, on top of the inning, if someone hits a 2-run home run in extra innings, you're like, okay, this game's
probably the other team shouldn't have a chance in extras when the other team goes up by two. It should be like you should have to earn that to come back.
I don't know, it just adds excitement.
Because what if you hit like you could I don't know, because you could walk someone and you got guys first and second, like ground out second and third. I don't know.
It makes the game more exciting. I'm okay with it for a shortened season. Maybe it doesn't happen full time. I don't mind it for a 60 game season. I don't mind I don't mind the NL having a DH as well, because that who wants to see a pitcher hit?
Well, yeah, I don't care about that. That's not a big deal to me. But I would rather have it. Did they announce, is it just happening in the playoffs or is it in the regular season?
Oh, regular season, I'm pretty sure.
Are we sure?
I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, if it's in the playoffs only, I would. Yeah. It either has to be all in or all out. So if it's only in the playoffs, that'd be stupid. But we'll see.
Yep.
I don't know. But yeah, I guess, Austin, anything on that, or should we go into our. Or you can go into predictions.
We can go into predictions. Let's see, we'll go with the AL Central, our home division. I think this is probably the most balanced division in the entire MLB. You've got the Twins Indians and White Sox, who made some moves this offseason. I think the Twins are going to be favored to win this division. You know, they set the record for home runs last year. I think Cleveland's going to end up on top. Obviously, maybe a little biased decision there, but I like them coming up from the AL Central.
I would say just go with like a surprise team, you think, maybe in the AL that will.
You know, I think even though with all the drama around them last year, I think the Astros are still going to be up top in their division.
Yeah.
Even without the ability to cheat, I think they do still have some solid players on that team.
They do have talent. That's, you can't really deny that. I like that prediction, Austin. That's pretty good. Smart.
Well, I'm still thinking teams are going to go at them.
Well, yeah, that's just going to put players on base.
David, you can't deny that they're a talented team, though. They have talent.
They are a talented team, but everywhere. I think teams are going to play like really hard against them because they don't want them to win.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Any NL predictions, Austin? If you don't have anyone in NL, just go with your World Series matchup.
World Series, I would go probably Yankees and Dodgers.
Okay.
That's the Dodgers. That's like the favorite like prediction from like Vegas, I think.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Especially with a shortened season.
Yeah.
David. Not bad. Want me to go here?
Yeah, you go.
I'm gonna say in the East. I'll go division by division real quick, actually, because I think I got some good here for the podcast. All right, so I think in the AL East, it's going to be a toss-up. There'll be three teams here.
I already know which team you're going to say wins the division.
So there'll be toss-up. Red Sox, obviously Yankees, and I think the Rays will kind of make a little bit of a jump up to, you know, a top – not top tier, but like a higher tier team. They have a pretty good pitching staff. They got Snell, they got Morton, they got pretty good relievers. Offense isn't as talented, obviously, as the other two teams mentioned. But I think the Red Sox are actually going to win the division. But I think the Rays are going to take the wild card. That's my prediction. The East Central, obviously, like Austin said, I'm kind of biased. I really want the Indians to win it. And I think they have a really good chance of doing it, as it is a shortened season. So if you get off hot, which the Indians, you know, have been doing. I think in the last couple of years they've started off like somewhat okay, but hopefully they get hot. I think the Indians will win it, but it'll be close. I could see the Twins getting a wild card or vice versa, the Indians. And then the West, I kind of want to see the Angels do something, but I don't know. They can never get anything done. I kind of want Mike Trout to be able to play in the playoffs and do something and show people, you know, more of what he's about. But yeah, Astros are going to take that one home. Maybe Angels get close. Not too sure. NL East. This division a lot. There's like four teams in here. We could easily go to the playoffs, in my opinion. Phillies, Nationals, Braves, Nets. Two of those teams won last year. This is a tough one, but I actually think the Mets are going to surprise everyone. They have really good pitching staff, as we know. They got Syndergaard. They got DeGrom.
Well, so what's their offense looking like, though?
Pete the Tank.
Okay. Who else?
Pete Alonso.
You have
I think their pitching is going to stay.
They still have Jay Bruce?
No. I think the Indians got him like 3 years ago, so.
Yeah.
What are do we?
They have Frazier.
Where did Bruce go?
No, he's on the Mets still, I think. No, he's not. Yeah. I don't know where he is.
All right, keep going, David.
I think their pitching's going to carry them, obviously.
All right.
But they have decent – I mean, players aren't horrible. Pete Alonso, Rosario's not too bad. He had, like, 75 rubies last year. Frazier at around 70. J.D. Davis, young guy. I mean – They had four guys with 20-plus. Conforto had 33 home runs, 92 RBIs. So they have, like, decent offense, not amazing. But, yeah, their pitching is going to get done, obviously. DeGrom, Syndergaard, Wheeler, Motts, Vargas. Didn't they get Stroman? Pretty sure they have Stroman, so.
Yeah.
They may also have a new ownership there.
Yeah, Mets did get Stroman.
Yeah, so, and they also have Mickey Callaway, Indians pitching coach. So he's been pretty successful with Indians there. So I think that's why I predict them to have a kind of surprise in the East. But moving on, Central, pretty solid division, but I think Brewers will take it. I would say it'd be pretty close between the Cardinals, Brewers, and Cubs. Pirates and Reds are kind of the bottom of that division, not going to do much this year. And then lastly, the West, I'm going to go with, you know, the Dodgers to win that pretty easily. I think the Rockies might grab a wild card, but for my matchup in the World Series, really want the Indians. Don't think they're going to get done, unfortunately. I think it's going to come out of the AL East. Boston is going to come out of there. And I think out of the NL, we're going to see the Brewers in the World Series. And I think it's going to be – so I think Brewers win in six.
Okay.
Kyle, that's your good. Thoughts?
I just like the Red Sox traded away Betts and Price to the Dodgers. So you're saying that they're getting stronger without those two guys? That's like my only, I guess, thing I'd disagree with. I'll just go into my predictions, though. AL East Yankees, they basically retained their same rosters last year, but you add one of the best pitchers in baseball, Gerrit Cole. They go out of the AL East. Central Twins, they basically stay the same. I think they signed someone. They signed Donaldson this offseason, so that just adds to their power that they have in their lineup. And the West, I'm going to shake it up a little bit. I'm going to go with the Athletics. They just have like a good overall roster. Pitching's pretty damn good for them as well. I see them making it over the Astros. The NL East, we're going to go with the Braves. Their pitching staff's a little weak, but they do have Hamels now, so maybe Hamels can go back to who he really was. And then, let's see here, Mike Fulton-Nevitz. He's pretty good for their team. A lineup, Acuna, Albies, Freeman, Ozuna, Markakis, Swanson, they're just loaded in their lineup. Sneaky good team. I think they beat out Washington in the NL East. Central, I'm going to go with the Cardinals. Just overall good team year in and year out. I know you like the Brewers. I think it'll be a close division between those two teams. And the NL West, Dodgers, very good team. They add Betts. They add Price. Really good. My World Series matchup is going to be Dodgers versus Rays. I think the Rays might not have – I think it'll be a similar scenario as like the 2016 Indians where their pitching staff really just carries them to the playoffs.
And they have a like starter where they have like a guy who goes one inning to start a game.
I don't think so. I think they're going to go with Snell and Morton. I think those guys are going to carry them. What were you going to say?
I was going to say – yeah, I agree with that. I was going to keep on going. I'm going to say something after.
I think – so I'm just – I mean, like, they have a good, like, lineup, too. I mean, Austin Meadows, I think Yandy Diaz is going to really go off this year. And then they have let's see here.
They have Choi.
Who are you going to say?
Kiermaier, right?
Yeah, Kevin Kiermaier, Mike Zunino.
Not horrible. They might need better. I mean, I don't
– yeah, and they have –
I think they're going to need to add another bat, maybe.
But well, this is what I'm going to say. I think they add Wander Franco from the minors, and he's going to tear it up right away. Top prospect in all of baseball. Plus, they can always trade for a guy. So I think they make it to the World Series off their pitching. I think Dodgers win in six, though. Dodgers are just really good.
So I'll address one thing I've questioned in yours. I guess the A's, I guess it's a little bit of a surprise. I don't really see how they're going to beat the Astros in that division because the Astros have way better pitching and probably you could argue they have better hitters.
Mm-hmm.
But maybe they'll sneak it out. I mean, I guess all the A's really have, what pitching-wise, is Fires and Manea is okay. But I don't know anyone else they have, and obviously, I mean, they did lose Cole to the Astros, but they still have Verlander, and
yeah, I mean, they have Manaea.
That's what I said, Manaea. I mean, Manaea and Fires. I think Hendricks is okay, but
yeah,
we'll see. It'll be a toss up. What was the thing you said about mine? You had a question. What was the team?
The Red Sox. They lost Betts and they lost.
Oh yeah. Price. So yeah, I know they lost a lot of. They lost some players. I still think they have a pretty solid core. They have Bogarts, Devers, really young. That guy was a beast.
Yeah.
Mitch Moreland. They've been a Benintendi, Jackie Bradley, JD. So they still have a lot of good players. They did lose Betts and Price, but as we know, Price wasn't that good in the playoffs. He was, I think, good last year and the year before that. But besides that, he'd been horrible in the playoffs. That's really all that matters. I mean, I guess in the 60-game season, you're going to need – a lot of these games will matter a little more. But I think they still have the talent to be able to win that division. And I think if they win that division, they'll get seeded well enough that they can run the table in the East. Or in the AL. Yeah. In the AL. I feel that.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. So this next topic is we're going to power rank our top activities that we would do over quarantine the past 3 or so months. I'll give this one to Austin to start out with. He's pretty good at lists. So
I would say I am pretty good at lists, and I think this one's going to come out on top. Anyways, top five. Here we go. Number five to do during quarantine. Grab a couple buddies, start a podcast.
Oh,
great way to keep yourself entertained, you know.
I think it's Austin. How did you start your podcast? What software or what company did you?
You can go to anchor.fm to start your own podcast. There you go. Yeah. Number four, we've got a little game of virtual beer pong. Obviously, not the same thing as doing it in person, but still fun, still doable. Just put your screen to the side of the cups, fire away. Hopefully try to get it on camera so people know you're not cheating. But solid way to spend your time. Number three, not everyone can do this. Grow a beard. I think I know David attempted to do something like that.
That was gross. Quarantine. The neck beard?
Yeah, but the great part about it, you didn't have to go out in public. No one knew except us. And, you know, why not give it a shot?
Yep.
Number two I have is sleep. I mean, that's pretty fun to do always. So quarantine gives you an excuse to sleep in. Number one, this took up a lot of my time, workout. Trying to stay fit and healthy during quarantine, even though the gyms were closed, but good way to spend my time.
How did you work out without the gyms being open, Austin? Give us some of your tips.
Yeah, well, I had my own set of dumbbells. Luckily, I had a bench. So, you know, just some nice at-home workouts to try to get through.
Good. I'll go next.
All right.
So my fifth best thing to do during quarantine was sleeping in until about like 11 noon because really there was nothing else to do in the morning. Stay up late, wake up late, kind of just... That was fun, I guess. Number four, this is something I personally did, was basically becoming one of the best Wii tennis players in the world. And Wii golf, actually. I, you know, took up the Wii again. Turned out I'm just really fucking good at that game. All right, Wii sports, at least. Tennis, like, I was, like, basically breaking the game on how good I was getting. Like, I was, like, 10 points from, like, your max level. And you needed, like... I think like 100 perfect games in a row.
Did you do that?
No, I had to stop because
that shows your character.
I found out I had a life. And that playing Wii tennis for hours on end wasn't good.
You shouldn't be hop on after the podcast.
What'd you say?
You should hop on after the podcast, play a little Wii tennis.
Unfortunately, again, I have a life. I have a job I have to go to in the morning, so can't really stay up late.
Yeah, the tennis matches take like a minute, though.
Kind of, yeah. Kind of not. Plus, I'll probably want to play some golf, too. And that's also fun. All right, number three. We're going to watch reruns of college football games, preferably if they were announced by Gus Johnson. I just hop on YouTube and look up. There's this one channel that just like has like really good college football games rewind, and like I don't know, but you can spend like hours just watching really good college football games. So that was number three. Number two is personally like one of my favorites. Getting in meaningless arguments with the parents. Nothing better than, you know, staying up in your room all day, walking downstairs about to eat dinner, and then just start screaming at your parents because they're idiots. So yeah, I mean, that was really fun. Just maybe one of my only interactions with them was just, you know, getting in an argument with them. And number one activity to do during quarantine was just to count down the days until I get back to school, because let me tell you, being at home, not fun. Being at school, fun. So that was number one. David, what's your top five?
All right, before I start here, Kyle and I are kind of, you know, we saw this power rank topic come up. And by the way, he did steal mine at when he put number two, arguing with his parents.
It wasn't exclusive.
I'm not gonna say that. I'm gonna try to be a little more creative, I guess, or try to be, you know, unique here. I do agree with, I guess, some of the sleeping that's pretty fun and things like that. But all right, so for me, best things to do over quarantine, top activities, number five, I'm gonna say it's probably going on Zoom dates. So there's this kind of thing that came out. It was like Zoom University, and you can go on these like virtual, or not, yeah, it was like FaceTime essentially, like 2-on-2 dates. And I had a pretty good time. Went on with one of my friends, talked to these ladies, and then they invited us to their own Zoom call on the computer. And Austin, he wasn't the friend, but he actually joined in too with us. We talked with them for maybe, what, an hour or so, Austin? 2 hours?
Yeah, it was a good amount of time.
Decent amount of time. You got a couple falls on Instagram, got some Snapchats. Or that wasn't that time.
Got some Snapchats?
No, got some falls on Instagram or whatever. And then went on another time with my friend, got some Snapchats, you know,
dude,
talked
dude,
it
up. You're Casanova, dude. I know, bro. Ladies, man, they saved something for the rest of us.
I'm so sick. No, anyway, so that was number five. It was pretty fun, just kind of mess around and, you know, just like basically like just kind of be a cheeser while I'm talking to these people. They don't know anything about me. Kind of staying on the like the dating trend, I guess, or kind of like talking to females or whatever. Coming in at number four is going on Tinder or Bumble during this time is amazing because there's so many people on there, and you can just mess with everyone. I mean, I have a couple solid lines. I'm not gonna say on
Dave. Here. No,
please no.
Can we hear your go-to line?
No, it's not. It's not appropriate. We'll maybe share it later on. Probably not, though. But anyways, it's pretty fun to go on there, just mess around and kind of like I said, really cheese a little bit. And it's pretty fun to then see what other people think. And, you know, honestly, I'm pretty successful. And I recently, before this actually podcast, talking to some people, and it's been pretty successful. Might, you know, meet up with some people and stuff like that. So coming in, that was 4 and 5. Not too bad.
Are 3, 2, and 1 also you bragging about women?
Yeah. No.
Three. Well, I was going to have one in my top three be parents arguing, but I don't want to do that anymore. So kind of had to change that on the spot or think of other things.
Sucks. Deal with it.
It does suck.
Prepare better.
You're right.
Prepare better.
Three. Obviously, I haven't been able to do this the last couple of weeks since I went up north, but playing video games is pretty fun. As you guys know, I'm a pretty avid player. Liked my Warzone that kind of came out recently. Played a little bit of NBA 2K and Rainbow Six Siege, things like that. Video games are pretty fun to play with friends and talk to your friends and see what's up with them.
One shout out here real quick. I know we do have a listener who enjoys to play video games, that game being Clash Royale. So thank you to Joe Cirullo for listening into the podcast. Go ahead.
I wouldn't really say it's a video game, Clash Clans, but okay. Anyways, so that was three. I would say number two is probably, I would say, watching Netflix, you know, or Hulu, one of those two streaming channels. Either watching Netflix or Hulu's pretty fun, you know, got to watch Outer Banks, good suggestion from my friend here, Kyle.
A
lot of other movies. There was a one movie we kind of all watched. It was what was it, like 21 or it was Blackjack or something like that.
Yeah, 21.
21, really good movie. A lot of good movies to watch and things on TV and like kind of. I think someone else mentioned their power rankings. A lot of throwbacks and like there's a lot of things you know you can see and watch on TV and on the internet. And then I would say coming in at number one, kind of related to this like Netflix and Hulu thing, is watching YouTube. Because YouTube has everything out there for you. You can, you know, watch throwbacks of college football and all things like that are pretty fun to do and watch and brings back the memories. Very emotional at some points. Like, I know I watched a lot of Cleveland Cavaliers highlights from their good old days in 2016, 2017. Things like that. Watching, like Kyle said, Gus Johnson make amazing calls. But that is about it for my top five.
I mean, that was good.
I think we're all done here and head to our
David, next... thank you. Before we move on, thank you for bragging to us about all the, you know, the girls you've been talking to over break.
No, well, I didn't say that.
We'll have to meet some of them sometime.
I'm sure
they're wonderful ladies.
I said the Zoom call was funny just to like mess around. So,
I mean, okay, what about your Tinder woman?
I messed around on there too. It's all a joke, essentially, just to see what people are like.
No, I think we just have to admit that David is a god when it comes to women, and we just have to move on.
Yeah,
no.
There's no hope for the rest of us. God,
actually, Kyle Shuki, actually dated somebody who he talked to on Tinder, so he's a god at that.
I mean, I can't deny that. That's not wrong.
Yeah,
I mean, I can't lie and say I'm like not great with women because. My girlfriend can attest that I am great with women. So
hey, LOL or
sure.
this is funny. Let's move on to the next topic, personal updates. So this is one kind of Kyle and I well actually we all thought of this, but this is kind of more addressing towards I guess all of us, but
I don't think it's necessarily addressed to anyone.
I think it was inspired by someone in this group.
Anyway, so is being a gentleman a simp move in 2020? Austin, let's hear it.
Yeah, of course. Well, you know, obviously, I think the answer to this question is no. I think there's a difference between being a gentleman and a simp. And I would equate simp with being equal to, like, a nice guy. I think that category is more guys doing things with the expectation of them getting something in return for doing something
like
good or
like
nice.
What?
I don't know. Like a girlfriend. And a gentleman is more they do things because it's polite, respectful, and the good thing to do.
That sounds like something a simp would say.
Does it?
Yep.
I don't think so. I think a simp does things with the expectation of a reward. A gentleman does it simply because it's right.
But can there be a combination?
Yeah. There has to be overlap.
They're not. Yeah, they can overlap. But I think, in general, you do make certain decisions that reflect your character. And some people can make decisions that ultimately only reward them. And some can do things that, you know, are morally right.
I'll say being a simp is like you're trying too hard. If you're being a gentleman, it's almost like effortless or like you just like automatically do it.
It's like cheesing, kind of?
No, not cheesing. It's just like if you're being a gentleman.
It comes naturally.
You open the door for someone. That's being a gentleman. You aren't really trying. You're just doing something you've learned how to do, or you, I don't know, being simp tendencies are you just, I don't know, you try too hard.
Okay.
I think. I mean.
What's your answer to this, Kyle? This question?
There's a fine line I guess. Because, like, you can be, like, overly a gentleman, and then it starts getting into, like, the simp territory. But if you're just doing, like, the simple things, I don't think it's, like, a simp move in 2020. What about you, David?
Well, there's a lot of things that have happened in 2020, obviously. A lot of them have been bad, it seems. But we still got half the year left. I guess I kind of agree with you guys here. I don't think it is. If you're a gentleman, you're not really, you know, being a simp in some cases. But obviously there is overlap. So it's kind of hard to tell sometimes if you are aren't being a simp. Obviously, I think I kind of agree with Austin here, what he said. I think if simp is, yes, you're trying to do something in return for you're trying to do something for someone and you're expecting something in return. Gentlemen, you just do it and you don't care if you get something in return or not. You might not. So that's where that line, you know, you don't know where it's drawn, because you could be doing something as a gentleman and you end up getting something in return and you weren't asking for it. And then people are like, oh, he's a simp because he did this and got something in return. But it's like, you were just doing it because you personally want to do it, or you taught to do it.
Yep.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it takes more than just one action, I think, to look at something to say whether they're a simp or a gentleman, because things can get cloudy. But I think you just
there's a gray area.
Yeah, and you have to look at things holistically to make a determination.
All right, I think we can move on to our last topic here. You guys heard us say this in the last couple podcasts. I don't think we actually said it.
I think we've kind of alluded to it.
We haven't said it in this podcast yet. So we're going to explain to you kind of what the wolf is, because you guys are going to hear us say it in many podcasts to come. I don't really know how it was originated. I think it was a combination. We kind of all kind of have put in, you know, different characteristics into it, but Kyle, I think you kind of can start us off and give us a nice little base of what the wolf is, and then Austin and I can throw in some details.
All right, yeah. So I previously wrote a detailed paper kind of defining what the wolf is and what it means to me, I guess. So originally the wolf kind of started our sophomore year when we were playing 2K, I think that's when it really like started. So like in 2K, things would get like heated between David and I, like a lot of trash talking being thrown around, and David is the king of trash talk when it's really not warranted at all. Like he could be down by 10 and he could just be talking up a storm. And so what the wolf is like when you're facing someone who's like trash talking you, or is like it only happens when you're like facing like someone who's like trash talking you.
Essentially, here's a good case of it. So in 2016 finals, Cavs Warriors, right?
Yeah.
Cavs are down 3-1 in the series. Warriors are talking a lot of crap. Draymond, Clay, trying to get inside the Cavaliers' heads. Draymond, the wolf kind of decided, Draymond, you're getting suspended for game 5.
Yeah.
And that's where kind of the wolf came in. And then combination of LeBron's, you know, like giving powers to LeBron and Kyrie to go off in 5, and then LeBron continuing in game 6 to go off, and the wolf really came in, obviously, in game 7, you know, to finish it off with the block and the shot and the defense. That's kind of a situation of like the wolf coming in.
Yeah, like,
and
like another,
kind of having the powers to like change the outcome of something when no one thought that was going to happen.
Yeah.
Another one I could think of is kind of like Stephen F. Austin played Duke earlier this year.
Yeah.
I believe Stephen F. Austin was at least a 25-point underdog, something like that. And the wolf kind of came in, and Stephen F. Austin, you know, all of a sudden, wait, they're only, you know, down by 5 with 5 minutes left. Wolf came in, Duke lost the ball, Stephen F. Austin scored at the buzzer, and that's how that game went. There's a lot of situations.
So yeah, especially for like, underdogs.
It doesn't happen. It's a lot of underdogs, but it doesn't happen every day. But
no,
the wolf picks and chooses when they want to, you know, when he wants to come out and, you know, spice things up.
One of my examples of the wolf is like in the 2015 NBA Finals, like Kyrie like blows out his knee, shatters his kneecap, I think, and like everyone's like, oh, series over, blah blah blah, series over. So like game two and three, you have Matthew Dellavedova, who's just like the most average male athlete of all time, like not athletic at all. But what does he do? He shuts down like the MVP Steph Curry, like in game two. And then in game three, just puts up like 20 points. Like, how is that possible? So the Wolf kind of came in, kind of was like, I'll help you out, Deli. And that's what happened.
The Big Bad Wolf, you know, it's just a presence. And
yeah,
it consumes you when you're facing adversity. I think that's the best way to put it.
Yes.
And it can help you. And it's not just sports. There's a lot of other situations where the Wolf can come in and kind of guide you towards, like, I guess victory, you could say.
Like, if you weren't studying for, like, if you didn't study at all for an exam and, like, you think you're going to fail and, like, all of a sudden you, like, get it back and you get, like, an 87% or something like that and you're like, ah, the Wolf helped me out on that one because, like, the professor is probably talking too much with the, oh, it's going to be a hard exam, blah, 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 talk.
Wolf came in, kind of changed the professor's mind and...
Yeah.
It helped you out.
Helped you guess right on the answers. So, like, I don't know.
Here's another situation, you know, playing drinking games, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're down in Pong. Like, you got like eight cups left. Other team has won. All of a sudden.
The other team probably is, like, talking a lot, too. Like, oh, you're trash.
They're talking. They're up on you. They're like, dicking you. And you need to come back.
Yeah.
Well, Wolf comes back. Ball's back. And all of a sudden. 2-1, bingo, bango. You tie it up, redemption, they miss, game over, you win.
And, yeah, like the Wolf comes out, like, in Pong, like, on redemption shots. Like, I had a couple times this year where I was just, like, pretty automatic on, like, redemption shots. And, like, I almost, like, fully attribute that to, like, the Wolf, like, saying, sup, kind of thing.
Solid.
I mean, the Wolf... I know it's kind of, like, hard to understand, but just, like, the Wolf comes out when, like...
It's,
like, unexpected.
Desperate times.
Desperate, unexpected, and,
desperate,
like...
Desperate times bring out the Big Bad Wolf.
And the other side has to be talking, too. If they're not really talking, then it's, like, harder for the Wolf to come out.
That's kind of more of, like, a... Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that.
You know?
But I think Austin put it best.
As usual, I'd do that.
I don't know about that.
But... I think we gave some solid descriptions and examples to help listeners understand. But
it's hard to explain, really. It's not
It's kind of our own little thing we have, but hopefully
it's abstract, which makes it
hopefully now people will kind of realize and it will spread, and you know, hopefully
it's get not out a, there it's not a literal wolf, though.
Yeah.
No,
should we get like no? That's kind of a stupid idea.
No, go shoot.
Like, theoretically, could we find a baby wolf
and raise him or her?
Yes,
we can say
it's a dog.
I support this.
I wouldn't be opposed.
I mean, that'd be like
that'd be kind of legendary.
Yeah, like we have a wolf. Like, good luck trying to like. Break into our house, like we're gonna have like the wolf, like feet, like literally and metaphorically on you.
All right, yeah, I'll be down.
Sounds like a plan.
We'll check to see if, we'll have to check and see if we can get a wolf. I don't think it's really possible, but
nothing is impossible.
That's true. What would we name it?
The Wolf.
No.
The Wolf.
Well, we can figure that. We feel like we can figure that out once it happens. If it happens.
True. Whose room would we put it in? I have an idea on whose room we would put it in.
Let's not mention names, but
yeah.
We all know where we'd put it in.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys have anything else to say or
I'm good.
Yeah, well, not to break your spirits, it's illegal to own a pure wolf, but a 98% 2% wolf dog is allowed.
Wolf dog? Fine. This is going to be – oh, my God. How expensive are they?
All right. I think we're all done here, everyone.
Oh, my. How expensive is the wolf?
We're not done?
No, I want to see the pricing on the wolf dog.
The wolf dog?
Yeah.
This might be difficult to find. Almost it like does. A Joe Exotic type situation.
Yeah, it's kind of true. I'm looking it up too because, like, I don't know. This would be kind of funny if we can find wolf dog.
It's probably like a decent amount of money.
I know, but like,
median price is $875.
Yeah.
If you want a top quality wolf dog, it can cost up to $5,000.
Czechoslovakian wolf dog.
Maybe we should just put all of our like spring break like money towards a wolf.
Could we train it to like race and stuff?
This is a 100-pound puppy.
Wait, what?
Yes.
Oh, dude, that'd be sick.
I don't know if we could stop the wolf though. He might go haywire.
Do we have to tame it?
We'd figure it out. What? Dylan would be, or never mind. I'm not gonna say anything, but.
Dude, we can have it like, yeah. What if he gets like hungry one night?
All right,
he might be getting a wolf dog. Probably not, but that'd be kind of funny.
I think that's all for today's podcast. So we will see you next Monday. Thank you for listening, and have a good week.